Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracles of God. Hope everybody's doing great today. I call this one, The Reign of God is Within You. And I took it from Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. And having been questioned by the Pharisees when the reign of God doth come, he answered them and said, the reign of God doth not come with observation, nor shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For lo, the reign of God. And I wanted to use the Young's literal because of the way they worded that, the reign of God is within you, and I thought that was so beautiful. And so I thank thanks to IHOP Kansas for letting me use their music. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And I declare that you will have above and beyond what you could ever ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill your part of his story. And of course, I want to declare Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the adversary that oppresses you, then blow an alarm with the trumpets that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from every single one of your enemies. And so I love that. So beautiful. And so we're going to play the recording of the shofar. Hallelujah. Well, I want my prayer today to be from the Amplified Version of the Bible, because my prayer is, well, this is what this is about. I wanted to share, and I think we're only going to get through one thing today, the things that we actually cry for and pray for that we already have. And I know in some of our songs, we cry out for things like, for instance, Lord, give us your glory, or, anoint us, Lord. And so many people pray for those things, and we sing songs about those things. And I believe that we're robbed because, not because of the songs, because the songs are beautiful, but because we already have those things, and Jesus prayed for those at the cross. And so I wanted to make my prayer from 1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 9. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him affectionate, reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefit that he has bestowed. Yet to us, thank you, Lord, that you have already unveiled and revealed them by and through you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you search diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us. And I just thank you for that, Holy Spirit, that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by you. But the natural... I wanted to put this in, and I put this in later instead of first. Okay, I am going to go to 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge. But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, the feelings, and the purposes of his heart. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And so when we go through trials, I think sometimes we question if God is with us. Yet in reality, he lives within our spirits. The kingdom of God is within us. And so I wanted to go to Green's literal in Colossians 1:26. The mystery having been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now was revealed to his saints, to whom God willed to make known. What are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations? Who is Christ in you, the hope of glory? And, you know, if we really ponder on that, Christ Jesus our Lord is in us. We've been generated from above since our spiritual birth. When we receive the sacrifice of Jesus and when we ask him to forgive our sins, when we truly repent, he comes to live on the inside of us by the power of the Spirit. And sometimes it's just hard to wrap our minds around the fact that we have the mind of Christ. The thing is some people don't understand what that means, or that they read that, but they don't grasp what that means. And so how does the mind of Christ begin to be operated in our lives? And so we have to begin to pour the word of God in ourselves. And it's a process. When we put the word of God in us by his revelation, he gives us understanding. He gives us wisdom. He enlightens our eyes. One definition is our imagination. He's in us. So the kingdom of God is revealed to us as we continue in him. As we abide in him, the Spirit of the Lord announces things to come. I just love that. And so the Spirit of the Lord announces things to come. That's prophetic. He guides us into all truth, and the Word of God is our discerner. That's one of the biggest ways, yet he speaks to us through creation, through songs, through dance, godly dance, of course, through people and circumstances, and he gives people signs in so many different ways. He speaks to people through, I know, sometimes through license plates. You'll be asking a question and there'll be an answer on a license plate. And I don't know if that's happened to any of you, but it's really, really powerful when you know he's talking to you like that. And so I'm going to read John 16:12. I have yet many things to tell you, but you are not able to hear now. You're not able to bear now. But when that one comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak from himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will announce the coming things to you. That one will glorify me, for he will receive from mine and will announce to you. All things which the Father has are mine. For this reason I said that he receives from mine and will announce to you. Isn't that awesome? Another thing we have to really understand is if a person has not been generated from above, they don't get it, and they don't speak your language. They don't speak the language. They're foreign to your country, the kingdom of heaven. Don't you remember when you didn't get it? I sure do. They're nonsense to an unregenerated person. They think we're crazy. That's why we have to pray for people so that they can be introduced to the King of Kings, the King of the Kingdom, Kingdom of Heaven. I'm going to go in 1 Corinthians 2:14 for that. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him. And he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing understanding and becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. And I know I always would pray, Lord, Lord, anoint me, Lord. And I would pray that and I would cry to him, Lord, please anoint me. And one day he just said, you are anointed. Daughter, you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit. Go look in the Word of God. And so I was like, oh, okay. So I went into John 2:20 and also in John, well, 1 John 2:20 and 1 John 2:27. It says, and you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things, and the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone teach you, but as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and as he taught you, abide in him. And so we know that there are teachers. There's the fivefold ministry. And so the anointing helps us learn the things from the Spirit of the Lord. He'll teach us. So it's not saying don't have people teach you, just so you're not misunderstanding that. I want to read 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. But he confirming us and anointing us with you in Christ is God. And I wanted to go into Psalm 23 because it's so amazing, because it talks about at the end of the psalm, it talks about the anointing. But I want to read the whole of Psalm 23 because when you have an anointing from the Holy One, you get all the benefits of Psalm 23. And there's so many beautiful covenant names in here. So I'm going to read that to you. And it is a Psalm of David. Jehovah is my shepherd. And of course we know that's Yahweh Ra. I know some say Rohi. I shall not lack. Yahweh Jireh, or Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. He leads me to waters of rest. And that is, of course, Jehovah Shalom. He restores my soul. That is Yahweh Rapha, or Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. He guides me the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yahweh, this can do the Lord our righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. Before one vexing me. Yahweh Nisi, or Jehovah Nisi, our banner of victory, or the Lord. Now here's where it talks about the anointing. It's so beautiful. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord for as long as my days. Isn't that beautiful? I love the version, too. So we're going to talk about the mission of Jesus. I mean, just think about that, too. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And think about Jesus. What was his mission? I'm going to read actually a lot of the part of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is on me because Jehovah has anointed me to preach the gospel to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives. I just lost my spot there. Sorry about that. Opening to the bound ones, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to appoint to those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of infirmity, so that one calls them trees of righteousness, the planting of Jehovah in order to beautify himself. And I'm just going to read pretty much this whole chapter because we are his ministers. And so it says, and they shall build old ruins. They shall raise up former desolations. And they shall restore the waste cities, ruins of generations and generations. And foreigners shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of stranger shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be called priests of Jehovah. And it will be said of you, ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and you shall revel in their glory. Instead of your shame and disgrace, double. I'm going to come down just a little bit more because I want to talk about where in verse 10. Let's see what it says. Rejoicing, I will rejoice in Jehovah. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he clothed me with garments of salvation. He put on me the robe of righteousness, even as a bridegroom dons as a priest his headdress, and as a bride wears her ornaments. Isn't that beautiful? And of course, this scripture came to pass, the one at the beginning, in Luke 4, and I'm going to just start at verse 16, because basically it's talking about when Jesus came into the synagogue and fulfilled Isaiah 61. And it says, and he came to Nazareth where he was brought up, and as was his custom, he went in on the day of the Sabbath into the synagogue, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and unrolling the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because of this, he anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim remission to captives, and to the blind to see again, to send away the ones being crushed in remission, to preach an acceptable year of the Lord. And rolling up the scroll, returning it to the attendant, he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your ears. And a lot of what I'm reading out of today is Green's translation, the literal Green's translation, and also Young's literal translation. I really wanted to read the literal, a couple of the literal versions. And so they're the older ones, and the language is just so beautiful. And so I'm going to stop a minute, and I am going to play a song for us. I'm going to play, not the whole thing because it's a longer song, but I did these last week and they're just so beautiful. I wanted to do them again. One is from Matt Gilman. It's called Be Near, O God.
Thank you.
that? Isn't that what we want? And the thing is that he is near because he's in us. And if we dwell in the secret place of his presence, we're going to really experience how really near he is. And I think some people don't realize how near he is. And so they never pursue his presence, really, even though he's always there with us. And so we really have to remember that he's in us and he's with us. And so we can ask ourselves, does the Spirit of God dwell in me? And if you say yes, which I'm sure you will, you can then say you're in the Spirit. And this is in Young's literal translation, Romans 8:9. And ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God doth dwell in you. And if anyone hath not the Spirit of Christ, this one is not his. And there it is. If you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, then Jesus Christ dwells in you. And if Christ is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who did raise up Jesus out of the dead doth dwell in you, he who did raise up the Christ out of the dead shall quicken also your dying bodies through his Spirit dwelling in you. And we just have to know he is dwelling in us. Hebrews 13:5 says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. And in Matthew 28:20, to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How about the glory of God? I mean, we sing songs asking God for his glory to come, yet he already gave us his glory. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because I know there's so many songs out there that, you know, we're asking him to spend his glory, but really, his glory is within us. And so I want to read that to you in John 17:20. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I really want you to muse on this next verse, John 17:22. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. It's so incredible. When we're born from above, the family of God, a veil is removed, and he is so near, so near. Come let that play a minute, because he's near to us. Oh, hallelujah, that's beautiful. It's so incredible. When we're born into the family of God, a veil is removed. And I know I can attest to that, and I'm sure you can too. When you said yes to Jesus, you said I do to him, it was like you looked at everything differently, because what happens then, of course, is the Spirit of the Lord comes and dwells in your spirit, and he actually gives. And we talked about this many times before, and you know, as believers, he gives us a new mind, a new spirit, and a new heart. It's so supernatural. I want to go into 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18. But when a person changes and follows the Lord, that covering is taken away, and there's that veil. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Our faces, then, are not covered. We all show the Lord's glory. I just have to say that again. Our faces, then, are not covered. We all show the Lord's glory, and we are being changed to be like Him. This change in us brings ever greater glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And I'm just going to say it again because it's so beautiful. Our faces, then, are not covered. We all show the Lord's glory, and we are being changed to be like Him. This change in us brings ever greater glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And I really wanted, I know I, a couple of shows ago, I wanted to read to you, there's more than one set of verses that talk about how these things, how this happened to us. And is in Ezekiel 11, 18 through 20, I want to read this because it applies to us as well as it did to the Israelites back then. And they will come there, and they will remove all its hateful things and all its abominations from it. And I shall give to them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh so that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be to me, and they shall be to me for people, and I will be to them for God. And of course, that is talking about being born from above or generated from above. And I wanted to just read a little bit of Green's literal translation on John 3. And Nicodemus comes and basically says to him, Lord, we know that you've come as a teacher from God, for no one is able to do these miraculous things which you do, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, if one is not generated from above, he is not able to see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how is a man able to be generated being old? He is not able to enter his mother's womb a second time and be born. And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, if one is not generated out of water and spirit, he is not able to enter into the kingdom of God. That having been generated out of the flesh is flesh, and that having been generated out of the spirit is spirit. Do not wonder, because I said to you, you must be generated from above. The spirit breathes where he desires, and you hear his voice, but you do not know from where he comes and where he goes. So is everyone having been generated from the Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? And I wanted to read to you, too, because here's another thing. Well, I might get into this next week a little bit because I think we're running out of time. But I know people struggle with, you know, their issues. Like, they just can't seem to get rid of their old flesh. And the thing is, they don't get is that Jesus already took care of that. He already took care of the sinful nature. It's already crucified. You know, he gave us a new heart and a new mind. And I'm just going to read this to you out of the New Century because it's so powerful. I'm going to start at Romans 6:1. So do you think we should continue sinning so that God will give us even more grace? No, we died to our old sinful lives. So how can we continue living with sin? Did you forget that all of us became part of Christ when we were baptized? We shared his death in our baptism. When we were baptized, his death. So just as Christ was raised from the dead by the wonderful power of the Father, we also can live a new life. Christ died, and we have been joined with him by dying too. So we will also be joined with him by rising from the dead, as he did. We know that our old life died with Christ on the cross, so that our sinful selves would have no power over us, and we would not be slaves to sin. Anyone who has died is made freed from sin's control. If we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. Christ was raised from the dead, and we know that he cannot die again. Death has no power over him now. Yes, when Christ died, he died to defeat the power of sin one time, enough for all time. He now has a new life, and his new life is with God. In the same way, you should see yourself as being dead to the power of sin and alive with God through Christ Jesus. So do not let sin control your life here on earth, so that you do what your sinful self wants to do. Do not offer the parts of your body to serve sin as things to be used in doing evil. Instead, offer yourselves to God as people who have died and now live. Offer the parts of your body to God to be used in doing good. Sin will not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. And so we really, really need to know that that is already done. Jesus already, he already dealt with the sinful nature. He circumcised our hearts. He cut away that sin. This is a done deal. And some of us don't understand that we can ask, we can take these things to Jesus and ask him to put those things to death for us and give us his resurrection life in those places. We do not have to live in sin. That was dealt with at the cross. And so I'm going to stop here, and I want to leave with the song, and we're just going to continue in some of the things that we don't know have already happened for us. We sit and we wish and we pray, but Jesus did a complete finished work, and so these things are done. It is finished, and so we're going to talk about more of the things that Jesus already did for us that we don't walk. Some of us don't walk in it because we don't understand that he already took care of all these things for us. And so I'm going to leave with the song from Missy Edwards called Make Your Home in Me.
So close. There's no place I'd rather be. Now that I have felt your touch, come and make your home in me. Now that I am here with you, there's no place I'd rather be. Now that I have felt your touch, come and make your home in me. Thanksgiving.